The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We are going to start a 21-day fast beginning tomorrow, and we're inviting everyone to be involved with it. And I'm going to share some things about prayer and fasting this morning that I think will be very important. But I'm going to ask the ushers, what I'm going to do, Billy, if you don't mind, just put those back there where the offering will be, and people can just pick them up. As you can see, they're very nice. I just, my wife and whoever else helped with it, just Jeannie, boy, they did a great job with this.
Awesome. Good job, guys.
Terry put a half an hour into it. Praise God.
Now, see, I can't see back here.
Sorry.
Must be a joke. Okay. Very nice.
They did a great job. And I want to tell you, it's been several years ago that we put these together. And I got ideas and information from other sources. So not everything in here is original to Pastor Rob, but you'll see my flavor in it for the most part. And, of course, everything that I write, Tammy edits, so you get some of her along with it. But the idea is that for 21 days, we're going to pray, we're going to fast, we're going to seek God. We're going to do this because we believe God wants to move in our community, in our church, in our state, in our nation. But it takes His people. If my people who are called by my name, takes His people to get serious about Him and about wanting Him to move. So this will be a help to keep you on track. And as I go through this teaching this morning, you'll be able to discern exactly what God wants you to do. Oh, okay. Tammy also said she'd send out an electronic version on Monday for anybody that would like that. All right? And this will just keep us all together, praying in unison, and fasting and seeking the face of God. Prayer and fasting. I want to talk to you this morning about fasting for spiritual breakthrough. Fasting for spiritual breakthrough. I believe that fasting does bring spiritual breakthrough. I do not believe that fasting moves God. I believe fasting, prayer and fasting moves us closer to God. God stays the same. But when you overcome your flesh and your desires, when you make your mind cause your body to obey your spirit and the spirit of God, when your spirit lines up with the Holy Spirit, things happen. You build your faith. And the Word of God is very clear. You're not going to please God without faith. You got to come to Him with faith. And if you come with Him with faith and you ask according to James, according to His will, you'll have what you ask. You'll receive. Now, what is the will of God? It's found in the Word of God. If you want to know God's will, look in His Word. However, there are things in our lives, decisions that we have to make sometimes that are not that cut and dry, right? You know, we can know the overall will of God, but what about God's will for you to take a new job? What about God's will for you to make a major purchase in your life, a home, a vehicle, you know, all kinds of things? What about God's will for you if you're unmarried to take a mate? I mean, God, it's not written in His Word. It says, okay, it's time for you to get married. But you can discern those things. And I believe that prayer and fasting is very important when it comes to trying to hear things like that from God. Let's look. I want you to know that in the New Testament, I just want to give you a couple scriptures. Acts 13, 1 through 3. And Mark 2, 18 and 20. If you want to go to Acts real quick, Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 1, and now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Wow, prophets in the church during this time. You know, we've been told that that ministry's been done away with. Just like the apostolic ministry, apostles, it's been done away with. How many have ever heard that? Just a couple of you. Well, I want you to know that's a lie. The Word of God, if the ministry of prophet had been done away with after the receiving of the Holy Spirit, there wouldn't have been any prophets. But here they are. Prophets, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who has been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." They fasted. You see, they had some decisions to make. So they fasted and sought God. And God spoke to them. Because their spiritual antennas were up. Because they were praying and fasting. You see, that's what it does for you. It heightens your spiritual abilities to hear what God is saying to you. Sometimes we are so dull because we are so caught up in the world and the things of the world, feeding our face, doing the things that please us, sitting in front of the TV. Absolutely, it is easy to do. I love sitting in front of the TV Sunday afternoons, watching a football game, and go to sleep. Holding the remote. And I just dare Tammy to try to take it from me. She's tried before. I said, "What are you doing?" It's amazing. I'd be sound asleep, but if she tries to take that remote, that's mine. Hallelujah. That's why I need prayer and fasting. I need to get that fleshly stuff out of me. Get to God. Amen. So, you know, that's what it does. It clears our mind. It clears our spirit. It cleanses our body. Amen. And we are able to have these spiritual antennas like they're here. And when we pray and fast, they go up so that we can hear much better what God has to say. So prayer and fasting is very important to making decisions, for making decisions. Mark 2, go there real quick. Verse 18. It says, "The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, 'Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?' And Jesus said to them, 'Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast.'" Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. "But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece..." Well, I want to stop right there. So basically what he is saying to us is that now is the time for us to fast and pray, to get close to God. Fasting is not a religious obligation. Fasting is a decision between you and God. And yes, I'm calling for a church-wide fast, but it's your decision whether you're going to participate in it or not. Nobody is forcing you to. And don't let anybody put pressure on you to do so. You have to hear from God. But I do believe as we do this corporately, there will be things that happen among us that we will give testimony to that can only happen when God's people come together in unity and seek the face of God. and allow our spirits to be empowered by this process of fasting. Fasting is a religious discipline, and it's part of what believers should be doing. I believe that fasting prepares us for what God has prepared for us. But we're not going to receive it unless we're ready to receive it, unless we're prepared to receive it. What God wants for us is that He would lead, direct, and move among us every day of our life. That we would hear, that we would have our spiritual antennas up so that when He said, go right, we'll be able to go right. We'll hear it clearly. You know, thank God for Sister Ivy this morning. You know, I don't know if she'd see it on my face or she just discerned it from the Spirit of God. And I'd say that's what it was because I was trying my best not to show that I was, in a moment of indecision. Because I certainly was. But these are the kind of things that God wants to do in our day-to-day life. If we're not hearing exactly what God is saying, He'll bring somebody along and say, listen, are you trying to make a decision here? Let me tell you what God's saying. Now, listen. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I do not think that you should depend on somebody else to speak into your life. Pastor Otis said that he's had somebody for a while now that will contact him every day. Do you have a word for me? Do you have a word for me? Do you have a word for me? He knows how ridiculous that is. You should not depend on somebody else to have a word for you all the time. Let me give you a word. Where's the Bible? It's in there. I was going to grab Tammy's, but it's on her iPad. It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. That's a word for you. And many times God will speak to you directly from His Word. It may have been penned 2,000, 3,000 years ago. But it speaks into your life and your heart exactly at the time that you need it. It's a word for you. God intended it. It was not only penned for those people. He had it written down so that it would touch you at that very moment. That's how special you are to God. That's how much He loves, cares for you. Enhanced Strong's lexicon says that a fast is to abstain as religious exercise from food and drink. Dictionary of Biblical Language says fast is just simply to go without food. Now, I'm sharing this with you this morning because I want you to know what a biblical fast is. It has to do with food and drink, and or drink. However, when we've done this in the past, I've had people that felt like God spoke to them and said, I want you to fast television for this period of time, or fast something else that they enjoyed doing. You see, what fasting is really all about is bringing your flesh into subjection. So if God speaks to you about doing something like that, there's no problem. You do what you feel God is saying to you. This morning I'm trying to teach you what the Bible talks about in regards to fast. And it's food and or drink. Now, this is extremely important because when we begin our fast, I want everybody to be on the same page. That whatever God has spoken to you, you do it. You set a specific time that you're going to do it. We're going to do this for 21 days. And the reason we're doing it for 21 days, at the end of that 21 days, we're going to have a meeting, a special meetings we're calling revival or a camp meeting here at the church with Ryan Johnson, who's coming from Alabama. And I believe with all my heart that when God's people prepare, God will move in those meetings. So that's what we're planning on doing. So we're going to be doing this for 21 days. You hear from God. Let me tell you what has happened to me recently. And I think I owe the church an explanation about the Fresh Oil New Wine. You all know that we were planning on Fresh Oil New Wine with Pastor Ron Phillips. We've done that for 3 years now. This would have been the fourth. And I want to make sure everybody understands, this is not, it has nothing to do with Pastor Ron Phillips. I love him. I love Ronnie. I love their ministry. I'm not condemning them in any way, and it doesn't mean that they're not godly people. However, I was feeling uneasy in my spirit about those meetings this year. So I did some prayer and fasting and asked God to reveal himself to me. And being uneasy about it, I thought it's probably just me. We need to continue. We made a commitment. They know they're coming. We've made financial commitments. We have everything in order. We're going to follow through. We're going to be people of our word and honor our commitment. So I met with Pastor Collins, the sister church that we do this with, and Pastor Greg Collins, and we talked about the flyers and putting everything together and what we were going to do. And as I was driving back, we met at Bob Evans. Of course, I wasn't fasting at that time. We met at Bob Evans, and we had breakfast, and we worked all this stuff out. And on my way back, I just thought I heard clearly from God, you're not supposed to have those meetings this year. But then again, in my spirit, now wait a minute. That's surely just me, because, you know, we made this commitment. God, we're going to be people of our word, and we're going to honor our commitment. As soon as I got home, Pastor Collins called me, and he said, you know, I'm not sure we're supposed to have these meetings this year. I said, and I explained to him what I'd just gone through. And he said, well, that's confirmation. God's speaking to both of us. I believe those are the kinds of things that we open ourselves up to when we pray and fast and ask God to speak to us. Amen. That we will hear clearly. And not only will we hear, but he'll use other people to confirm our direction. Absolutely. So there's three things I want to talk about this morning. Three types of fast. An absolute fast, a regular fast, and a partial fast. Turn with me to the book of Esther. All right, the book of Esther, we'll look at verse 13 through 16, chapter 4. Now, let me lay a little bit of groundwork with this before we go into it. This book, through supernatural direction, through the power of God, Esther, a young Jewish lady, beautiful young Jewish lady, had become queen of the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, I'm not going to explain all that, but that's where we are in this. And her uncle, Mordecai, a relative that had raised her, was at odds with the king's advisor, Haman. Haman hated Mordecai, and therefore he hated the Jews. You see, the enemy's been trying to extinguish the Jews forever, for centuries and centuries. He hated Mordecai and the Jews, and he deceived the king into making a proclamation that on a certain date, all the Jewish people could be wiped out, not knowing that Esther was a Jew. So here's what is taking place. Mordecai talks to her and says, you need to go to the king and make petition for us. And what you need to understand is that any time a person presented himself to the king without him requesting, if he refused to see them, it meant death. So if he refused to see Esther, if he was going to receive her, he would hold out his scepter and she would come and touch it, and he would hear what she has to say. But she knew that she was putting her hands, not only the king's hands, but in Almighty God's hands. And here's what it says. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place." That's important. That's important for us to see. You see, even in that day, Mordecai recognized that God had placed Esther in this position so that she could do something. But even if she didn't, if she refused, she would miss the blessing that God had for her, and he would raise somebody else up because it was God's plan. I want you to understand, you can miss God. You cannot do what God tells you to do. You can just be disobedient. That doesn't mean that everybody else is going to miss God. That just means you miss the blessing of God. It means that God's going to raise somebody else up to do what he called you to do. Why would you let someone else have your blessing? "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan." This is what Esther told them. "Reply to Mordecai, 'Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.'" She had set her mind to do what God had ordained her to do, regardless of what happened. You know, sometimes we want to have an absolute assurance that we're going to come out okay on this thing. That God's going to move on our behalf and everything's going to be all right. We want to know this before we go in. Esther didn't know what was going to happen. God still had a plan, but Esther knew that the possibility of her dying, of her being put to death, was still a reality. So she asked the people to pray and fast. And the word here, the Hebrew word here, means to cover your mouth. So nothing goes in. And here's as much of an importance to this as what comes in, that nothing negative would come out. They had to cover their mouth. They wasn't to go around whining and complaining and prophesying over themselves that they were all going to be destroyed. They were to put their faith in God. And trust him. A complete fast. This was for 3 days. Now let me tell you something. This is an extreme fast. Extreme measures sometimes require extreme answers to it. Or extreme circumstance requires extreme answers, which is fasting completely for 3 days is what they did. No water and no drink. This is very dangerous, and you better hear from God if you do that. Honestly, I have never fasted without food and water completely, totally. Never have. I'm thinking about it. I'm asking God if that's what I should do. I want to hear from him. But if you do, you've got to hear from God. Absolutely hear from God. And they did. They did what God told them to do. And there was a miraculous outcome. The king accepted Esther. And in the end, Haman had built a gallows to hang Mordecai on. And in the end of the whole thing, Haman was hung on the gallows. And Mordecai was recognized as a great man and a servant of the king. God wants to answer our prayers like that. But I do believe that we have to get ourselves in a position to hear from him. Prayer and fasting, a complete prayer. All right, the second one. Well, let me share something with you real quick in regards to this kind of fast. Most recently, does anybody in here know who Tommy Lee Osborne, T.L. Osborne? Yeah, a few of you, okay. T.L. Osborne, it was back many years ago, I think about 3 years ago, he passed away. He was 80-some years old. But he was a great man of faith. But in the 40s, somewhere around 46, he was pastoring. That's a picture of T.L. Osborne. In the 40s, he found himself pastoring a church, a Pentecostal church, after he had come back from India as a missionary. And while he was in India, he shared the gospel with people. And He shared the Bible, and they, when he showed them his holy book, they showed him their holy book. And they asked him to prove that what he had was of God. And he couldn't do it. He didn't have signs and wonders following him. So he came back and he started pastoring this local Pentecostal church. And he kept seeking God. He kept reading in the scripture that Jesus laid hands on the sick and he cast out devils, that he healed all who were sick and afflicted of the devil. Listen closely. All who were sick and afflicted of the devil. The doctrine that God, that Jesus Christ makes you sick is a lie. All who are sick and afflicted of the devil. Jesus healed them. And he saw where the disciples would lay hands on the sick. He saw where miracles would take place, where demons were cast out. And he just kept studying and seeking God. He ran into some of the great healers of the day. William Branham and a few of those who things were taking place in their ministry. And he had them pray for him and he sought them. But one of the things that he did that was extreme because he was wanting God in an extreme way is that he prayed and fasted food and water for 3 days. And he said after that, God spoke to him and said that I will work through you just like I work through others. And any place you go, I will give you that land. He decided to go back to India. The rest is history. You can go online and read all about T.L. Osborne. But he spoke, he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ in India and other nations to tens of thousands of people at a time. They showed up. And the reason they showed up was because signs and wonders were following his ministry. He lay hands on the sick. He cast out devils. Things happened, and people came to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because he had a witness that Jesus truly is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Evidence of what we say is true. That's what happens. That was an extreme situation, an extreme fast. A regular fast. Turn with me, Matthew 4. 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." I'm just going to stop right there. The word fast here just means to fast food or give up food. And it's obvious here that that's all Jesus was doing, was giving up food. Otherwise, the enemy, if he had been fasting liquids, water, that would have been the first thing the enemy would have said. Have a drink. Because your body can't go without water for as long as it can go without food. So you would be desiring something to drink much more than you would be desiring something to eat. So Jesus was fasting food in this situation. And what did he do? He not only fasted and sought power. I want you to understand that Jesus, according to what you read in the scripture, Jesus had not performed miracles up to this point. He was baptized in water. When he was baptized in water, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many understand that? That it came down like a dove from heaven? Glory. He received the Holy Spirit. Then he immediately went and started fasting and praying for supernatural power in his life. This was the Son of God. Man, if the Son of God does that, how much more should we do it? Our example. He set himself as an example for us so that we could see that prayer and fasting bring supernatural experience into your life and power. That's what we want. Amen. We need national leaders who will stand up. You know, Abraham Lincoln, during the Civil War, in 1863, he stood up to their nation. And he said, we need a day of prayer and fasting. And they set aside a whole day for the whole nation to pray and fast and seek God. What would it be like if we had national leaders, if we had a president that would stand up and say, let's seek the living God, instead of national leaders who stand up and say, we will rebuild. We will come out better. We will come. The pride and the arrogance in that causes God to turn his face away from us. What we need is to humble ourselves before the living God. What we need to get on our face before God and ask him to move in our lives, to move in our families, to move in our nation, to move in our state, to move in our area. He wants to move. He wants to begin moving right here, right now. Hallelujah. Well, our leaders may not be declaring it, but there are a lot of people throughout this nation that are declaring times of prayer and fasting. The body of Christ is beginning to realize that we are in dire straits. We are in a tough situation. Economically, it's bad. Physically, you look around, you see the things that people are going through. The turmoil, the drug addictions, the alcoholism, and all these things that are tearing people apart. The lives, the families that are being split apart for various reasons. We need the move of God right now in this nation. We need to see healing. I believe God wants to bring healing.
Yes, sir.
All right, so there's an absolute fast. There is a regular fast where you just give up food for a period of time. Now, I want to tell you, when you decide to fast, if you go along with us in this fast, you need to decide whether you're going to do it for the 21 days or you're going to do it for a specific amount of time within that 21 days. That's between you and God. But whatever you decide, stick to it. Do it. Decide now when you're going to do it and stick to it. It can be a complete fast. It can be a regular fast, or it can be a partial fast. Turn back to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, beginning with verse 9. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Okay, first of all, we want to look at a couple things here that Daniel said. He just took in no pleasant food. He had decided that he was going to eat, but he wasn't going to eat certain things that brought him pleasure. And meat was one of those things, and whatever else, I don't know. He said he wasn't going to drink any wine. So anything pleasant to his palate, he abstained from. And he did that for the purpose of growing closer to God so he could hear, so he could understand the vision that God had given him. Here's something else it talks about here. It also says that ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, I do not want you to do this part of the fast. Because what this is talking about is he didn't bathe for 3 weeks. The anointing of the oils and the fragrant perfumes that they put on them was after bathing. And this is what Daniel was talking about. If we went 3 full weeks without bathing, we wouldn't be able to stand each other on Sunday morning, I'm sure. So let's not do that part of the fast. I have total agreement, right? Amen. But this is a partial fast. It's a decision not to eat something, a certain thing. And in the past, we've had people in this congregation that have given up coffee. They've given up sweets. They've given up certain foods as we fast together. And that's good. That's all right. If that's what God, if you agree with God that that's what you're going to do, do it. Do it for the time that you agree upon, and do it God's way. Very important. God wants to move for this congregation. I know that I've told this story before, but it's the Minnesota Miracle. And in 1876, Minnesota was ravaged by grasshoppers. It just ate up all their crops. So the next year, almost all their crops. So the next year in 1877, they were afraid that grasshoppers would just completely wipe them out and all the farmers would go bankrupt. So they were very concerned about it. The governor, John Pillsbury at that time, proclaimed a time of prayer and fasting. It was 3 days of prayer and fasting. He proclaimed that, and everybody who wanted to participate in it prayed and fasted. At the end of that 3 days, this was in April, suddenly the temperature soared, and it became warmer than it had ever been during that their recorded history. It got real hot, and for the next 3 days, it was extremely warm. That first day, they went outside, and they looked at their crops, and they saw the larvae of the grasshoppers beginning to hatch. People were devastated. They didn't know what to do. At the end of 3 days, the grasshopper larvae was everywhere. It was all over the place. That night, on the third day, the temperatures plunged. There was frost everywhere. When they went outside the next morning, all the grasshopper larvae was dead. It had wiped them out as if God had put a torch to them and just burned them up. They were killed. The day God answered Minnesota's prayer. God wants to answer those kind of prayers for us. When we fast together, I believe what God is trying to do in this church is bring us together so that we will hear His voice and that He will answer our prayers as we collectively cry out to Him. For healing of the people in this area, for healing of bodies, for healing of marriages, for healing of the land and the people so that we can receive all that God has for us, for healing of emotions, for healing of wounds that have kept people from being able to forgive one another. Yes. Healing in our land. Wow. The third thing I want to talk to you about this morning, or I guess probably the fourth thing really, fasting is a discipline for every disciple of Christ. If you believe what Jesus said, fasting is for you. Now, I understand there are some people that can't do certain kind of fast. You can't do certain things, food, because of health reasons. But I do believe that fasting can bring healing in your life as well. However, you have to decide what you are able to do. So it's not that you can't participate in some way. It has to be what God has called you to do in this fast. But in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Jesus fasted, prayed, got supernatural power from God. That's what he calls us to do. We know that Jesus used prayer and fasting, how important it is. I have made reference in the past to Jonathan Kahn. And to his book, The Harbinger. How many in here have read his book or at least seen the DVDs? Okay, quite a few of you. So you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a man who, he's a born-again Jewish rabbi. He has a church in New York. But he feels that God gave him this supernatural insight, and you'd have to get the DVDs to hear the whole thing so that you understand it completely. But he believes God gave him some supernatural insight to see what happened thousands of years ago in Israel is happening today in the United States. That the 9/11 attack was a warning to the United States that God has removed his hedge. And if we do not listen to his warnings, bad things are going to happen. Now, I'm telling you this morning with great hope and great expectation. Because I believe God's people can rise up if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Then he says he's going to hear and he's going to answer. So I have great hope and expectation that God's people is going to rise up. But I can tell you that Jonathan points out that God has a pattern. And it's called the pattern of Shemitah. And Shemitah, every 7 years, there's another warning. 9/11, 2008 was the stock market crash and the real estate bubble collapse. We are scheduled again. Fall 2015, if he's right, for something else to happen. It doesn't have to. Doesn't have to. God is warning us. He's trying to tell us, let's get serious about our walk with the Lord. Let's get serious about serving him. Let's get serious about sharing our faith with Jesus Christ, with our faith in Jesus Christ with others.
That's right.
Amen. Recently, I saw a Dutch Sheets, who is an apostle, prophet. He also was the chancellor of Christ for the Nations, a Bible college, Bible school. He recently resigned from that. But he said that he has been on a several-year journey with God to try to discern what God is saying to this nation. And God has been speaking to him in various ways. In fact, brother, you can go up to the piano. Thank you. This is my last story this morning. I know I'm keeping you a little long, but I think this is a very important one. He was seeking God on behalf of this nation. And he believed that God wanted to do something and wants to move. And he was at a conference with another brother who sometimes has dreams and shares those dreams and interpretations with the people that God he dreams about. And as they were going to bed that night, Dutch said, I just jokingly said to this brother, have a dream for me tonight. The next morning, the guy came up to him and he said, Dutch, I do have a dream for you. God showed me last night. He said that you were in a boxing match with five giants. And each one of those giants would come at you and you would use your right and knock that first one down. And then your left, you'd knock the second one down. And your right would get the third one. And your left would get the fourth one. And your right would knock the fifth one down. And you'd knock those giants down with one punch. And you said, when it was over, you walked over to me and you held up the gloves that you had on. And on each glove, on the right glove, it said Everlast. And on the left glove, it said Evergreen. And you said to me, if we're going to defeat the giants in our day, you're going to have to wear these gloves. Dutch said, I knew what Everlast was because I'd been studying about Abraham and the move of God and how Abraham in, I think it's the 23rd chapter of Genesis, where Abraham proclaims God the everlasting God. And when he proclaims God the everlasting God, he doesn't just mean that he's everlasting from this moment on. He was everlasting in both directions. He has been and he always will be. That's how powerful our God is. So he said that first glove was the almighty power of God. El means almighty God. Powerful God. So he said you had to use that glove. But he said this evergreen, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it for weeks and weeks. And then finally, they were having a graduation ceremony at Christ for the Nations. And he had this military man come in. And the military man came and spoke to his people. And at the end of the service, he said, I've got something I want to present to Dutch. And when he did that, Dutch said, well, I was a little uncomfortable with it, but, you know, I let it go. And he came up and he said, Dutch, I have this for you, and it's a flag. And this flag was a flag that George Washington commissioned to be used over the fledgling Navy that they had at that time. He basically had funded it himself. But he had it put on every one of the ships. And it says an appeal to heaven. Not only was it an appeal to heaven over the ships, but the colonies got a hold of it, and every colony started flying this flag over the colonies. This is basically the flag that our nation was founded on, not the Stars and Stripes. And over every battle and every battle that they went into, this flag flew. An appeal to heaven. And if you'll notice, it's an evergreen. Everlast, evergreen. That's how we're going to knock out the giants in this day. Now, the evergreen it's important that we understand. Those of you who have heard something about Jonathan Kahn, you know that he talks about the evergreen and how they planted an evergreen in Washington. Well, I want you to know that evergreen died. That's not a good sign. That's a sign from our God that man is unable to accomplish what he says he thinks he can accomplish. That we can do this without our God. However, I believe if we put our faith in our living God, that we will see the evergreen or the promise that we have from God flourish and grow. The evergreen, the colonists took this from the Iroquois because they had an Iroquois confederation of six or seven tribes. And the Iroquois had made this confederation with one another that they would never go to war with each other. And they took their weapons and they went to an evergreen tree because it represented eternal life, everlasting life. And they planted their weapons under that tree for eternity. They would never go to war with each other. The colonists picked up on that and committed themselves to one another that forever we have a covenant with each other and with heaven. Do you know you have a covenant with God this morning? He is a covenantal God. He has established his covenant with you. And he will not break his covenant. He promised Abraham that he wouldn't break his covenant. And he's promising you he'll not break his covenant. Do you know that Abraham didn't do everything right? Abraham lost faith sometimes. He took his wife into Egypt and said, "This is my sister," because he was afraid they were going to kill him. That doesn't sound like a great man of faith to me. You're going to give up your wife to some heathen because you're afraid you're going to die? Coward. Now, I'm not saying I'd do anything better, but my wife is saying, oh my. But I just want you to say he was a man. He was in the flesh just like us. And he made mistakes. He did things wrong, but he came back to his God. And he committed to follow through with his covenant. And God committed to follow through with his part of the covenant. And in the end, Abraham walked by faith before Almighty God. And he received many things in his lifetime, but he never received the ultimate promise. And that was that all nations would be blessed because of him. He was still waiting on that at his death. Isn't it incredible how God uses one generation to bless other generations? Our past generations, are the things that they've done, the prayers that they've prayed. I don't know what has happened in this area. I'm doing my very best to try to find out the spiritual history of Meigs County and Athens County and Gallia and the surrounding counties. I'm having a hard time finding anything. I want you to know that. If anybody runs across anything, let me know. But I can tell you this. There's one thing that I do know for sure. That in the 1800s, in Kentucky, there was a great outpouring of God. Cane Ridge Revival is what it was. There was a huge outpouring. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, it didn't matter what the denomination was. They all threw off the denominational cloak and they began to preach the word of God. Men would stand on stumps and preach to hundreds. Another would be over here preaching to 200 or 300. And the power of God would sweep across that place and people would be slain in the spirit long before the Pentecostals knew what slain in the spirit was. The power of God would come upon those people. And those men would preach and teach the word of God. And we have some of our ancestors, to the best of my knowledge, we have some of our ancestors who left this area and went to Kentucky to experience what was going on down there. And I believe that some of them came back and brought the power of God with them. Faith that God was moving. I'm hoping to find more about it. Because it's important for us to look at our spiritual heritage and see what God has done. God is moving in a mighty way among us. That's not the end of Dutch's story. If you want to hear more about an appeal to heaven, just Google Dutch Sheets Appeal to Heaven and you'll get his complete story. And it is powerful. I'll probably share some more of it next week with those of you who do not go and find out about it. But the important thing is that I want you to understand that God is calling upon his people. On one hand, he's telling Jonathan Cahn, people need to repent and get back to me or terrible things are going to happen. On the other hand, he's using Dutch Sheets to say, here's the way. This is what we have to do. Appeal to heaven because we have a covenant with an everlasting God. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise you. Glory. I'm just going to dismiss this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are moving among your people. Thank you, Lord God. We appeal to you. We appeal to heaven this morning. And as we begin this fast, Lord, we ask that you move among us. I thank you for touching and healing bodies. I thank you for mending marriages. I thank you for healing wounds, emotional and spiritual wounds that have taken place. That forgiveness, unforgiveness that has been there for so long will be ripped out by the roots, Father. And that your power and the love of God will replace it. Father God, that drugs and alcohol that are killing our young people, Father God, will be healed. They will be delivered and set free. Father, I believe that there is only one answer, and that is that we appeal to heaven. Today, we appeal to you, Father. And I thank you as we go from this place that we're going to be united, that we are going to seek your face. We're going to fast and pray and believe that you're moving in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't forget, get your devotionals. Drop your offering. Praise God. Have a wonderful day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about sharing this message with you today. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about the ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.